All right, so would it make any difference this morning if what I'm asking you to do is a holy thing? Not a Blues Brothers putting the band together, okay, if you remember that old movie. But you see, we're on a mission from God. Okay, I'm trying to say it like him, right? Okay, are you guys asleep? Oh, okay, all right. Open your Bibles this morning to Ephesians 5:15. We're going to look at 5:15 and 16. We are looking at our mission at Harvest, and our mission simply means how we are going to get where God told us to go. And so let's read our text this morning. I will be reading the white, and you be reading the yellow. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Good. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. We're going to look this morning at the second part of our mission statement, building up, and this is part two of it. It's a three-part mission that we have that we've kind of stolen together from what we think the Bible is telling us to do as Christians, these three suggestions. And here's let me give you three suggestions with this. This mission is there that you might, or that you are to grow in Christ to do the work of the ministry, okay, in building up, that you are to use your spiritual gifts or talents, and number three, that you're to train others in your giftedness and assist them to grow. Now, it sounds a lot like we're supposed to grow, doesn't it? You know, I thought about it this week. I've been reading a book on growth, and I thought, isn't it funny that we can go to church and we have all these classes and all these different things going on, a lot of teaching is going on, and then all of a sudden we think, oh, maybe we're supposed to grow. Man, you guys are asleep, aren't you? Man, this is the early service and 1 hour early. Did you go to bed early enough last night? No? Okay. All right. Well, I'll try to see if I can be a little more active in the pulpit. I'll jump up and down and those kind of things and see if I can get you going. All right. Okay. So let's just go up. We're gonna talk about where we got the words building up in our mission so that we together can grow to be like Christ. Wouldn't that be great if our church grew together in unity and oneness so that we were like Christ? Verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. These five gifts are given to equip you for the work of the ministry. Does that sound like growth? Yeah, it sure does, doesn't it? For the work of the ministry and for the edifying, and edifying means building up. That's where we get our word. Building up or construction of the body of Christ till we all come or arrive at the unity, the oneness of the faith and of the knowledge. And that knowledge here is a Greek word that really has more to do with a spiritual knowledge, a spiritually infused by the Holy Spirit knowledge. And so he says of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect, complete, or mature man, to the measure, means a full volume. If you fill up a bottle all the way to the very brim, that's what it's talking about, to the measure of the stature, the height of Christ. Now, I don't know how tall Christ was, but he had plenty, didn't he? And we want to become that same height and volume. We want to be that maturity. And he wants us to become Christ as a group in this church to the world. Verse 14, that or for the purpose, that's a purpose clause, that we may no longer be children or infants tossed to and fro, meaning by waves, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And by the way, we use doctrine a lot in church. It just means teaching, okay? It's to teach what we think the Bible teaches. That's what we call doctrine. By the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness or scheming of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. from whom the body of Christ, all of us, joined and knit together, and it really actually means when he says knit together, driving us together hard into a unity, a oneness, by what every joint, every ligament, he's using the body as an example, every ligament, that's you, you're a ligament, okay? You're a ligament this morning, all right? What every ligament supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does or supplies its share, causes growth. There's growth again of the body for the edifying of itself, making itself into a building is what it means in love. Now, we at Harvest Fellowship, all of us here, are meant to work together, leaving no one behind and becoming like Christ as a group at Harvest to reach our world for Christ. Amen? Are you ready to do that? Okay, listen, let me just give you some examples of things we accomplish, and we kind of go, okay, well, we supplied 64 dinners at Thanksgiving for people in Brighton that didn't have a Thanksgiving dinner. 64 with your offering when I put the basket out. 800 cans of fruit and vegetables we collected so that we supplied at least the vegetables and fruit for 800 meals, okay? Galatians 2 says this, they desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which we were eager to do, okay? We gave Christmas presents to a single mom who had absolutely no money. She didn't know what to do and contacted us, and we interviewed her, and we bought presents for those kids through our benevolent fund. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble. Are we following what God's telling us to do? Yeah, that's James 1:27. Since January, our first Sunday in January, we've had 40 hands go up for salvation. 40 hands. I look at that and I think they felt welcome. Many of you talked to them. Many of you, I even saw before and after the services, you talking to them about their needs and loving on them. And it comes back to that same scripture we had last week, which is, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, okay? Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. And then we have so many people here that have learned their Bible. I'm told all the time, boy, it's amazing because I come to this church and you have to learn your Bible. And people don't even know where to find a book. They open up their Bibles and they don't know where to go. And so I don't know what's happening out there, nor do I care. The point is that we've taught people their Bible. We've taught them theology. We've discipled them. And now we have strong players. You see them get up here and talk. And it's, for me, it's exciting to watch because that's what God's after, isn't it? That's the building up part, is that we grow up and we begin to do. You look at Phil here, and Phil came to us, and he's doing announcements now. People teach and minister. We have classes going on right now. And then we have people, you see, just a little bit ago in the announcements, we have people going to the mission field. We've got some young guys. I don't know if there's any girls in the group at this point, but I know we have some young guys. No girls? Okay. How many guys is it about? 11 guys wanting to go to Nicaragua to the mission field. And I'm telling you, I think it's a smart thing. You know, they are gone for maybe, what, 2 weeks? Are you talking about? 7 days. Okay, for a week. Oh, Honduras. Okay, thank you. Yeah, we don't want to go to Nicaragua. Yeah, right. Okay, Honduras. That's a little safer. Okay. But they're going to go for 7 days, and I guarantee you when they look around at the culture and they see what's going on, it's going to change their head. I'm hoping positively for Christ, and we're going to be praying for that because they're going to get out of this country and get out of the luxury and get into a much harder area to live. And I know what kind of impact that had on me when I went to Mexico, and when I was like 19, I think I went to Mexico for 3 months, 3.5 months, and man, did it change my view of the world and life, okay? And then we have things like Awana, where the kids are memorizing scripture. In fact, one of the parents were complaining to me because they got 8 pieces of candy from a wand. And he says, why do you have 8 pieces of candy? And so the little boy says, well, because I memorized 8 verses. Boy, hard to fight that one, isn't it? And, you know, I could go on and on. Right now, the kids are in there, and they're learning scripture. They're growing, and we see this growing, functioning part of the body of Christ. We're not complete yet. We still need to grow and mature, don't we? And you know, I look at, for instance, in there, just they have a need for teachers and assistant teachers, and we make announcements, and nobody responds. And I'm not throwing a guilt on you. I'm throwing a conviction, right? That they need help in there because they've got all these little minds, and I know that I learned those same scriptures, you know, because we started going to church when I was 7 or 8 years old, and when I was 24 and wanted to ask Christ in my life, I led me to the Lord through scripture because I knew it, and it stayed in my heart, and that's what those kids are learning in now, the Aaron. So our whole plan, or not our whole plan, God's whole plan, is that we come together in that maturity and oneness of Christ, and we build up each other so that we can do the work of the ministry. But it's not our plan. Do you hear me that? Do you hear me that this, or hear that this morning? Okay. It's not our plan. We're not that smart. Right? We're not that smart. It's His plan. And listen, if you haven't been involved in some portion of the ministry because maybe you think you don't count, or maybe you think you don't have talent, or you're not smart enough, okay? I want to shift gears a little bit and talk to you this morning. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. For the foot said, or should say, if, sorry, let me start over. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? No. Yeah, that's exactly what he intended. No. You know, in my first years of coming to Christ, I moved to Seattle where my parents work, and I wanted to serve. I wanted to do all those kind of things, and man, I was clumsy at talking, and I didn't know how to minister, and I wanted to, and I did what I could. I moved to college for a year and trained, and that was kind of an absence of ministry. You're in Bible college. The last thing you want to do is go to church, right, after you've listened to it all week. Met Debbie, came out here to Colorado, watched her family and the people that were in the church, and just their example helped me learn how to do ministry. And I just jumped out there and did it, right? And that's really what it takes. There's no little courage to just jump out and do it. And a lot of you have started doing that. Some of you are scared. And so, you know, here's the thing. I didn't know what to do because I didn't feel smart. I have to be honest. I began to see what they were doing. I thought, well, I could do that, and I jumped in. And here's the thing. We're on a mission from God, right? Amen? And it's a holy thing that we're going to do. And maybe in your heart you would like to try, but you're feeling like you're not that smart. Maybe you even feel like you're a fool. Maybe you think you don't have the IQ like other people do, so you might just fail. And so, God forbid we should fail. And so, it's not worth it. So I want to talk to you this morning about a couple mindsets. I've been reading a book that talks about mindsets, and it's really, really been encouraging to me, and I think maybe this will be encouraging to you. Let me talk about the first mindset. The first mindset is called a fixed mindset, meaning it's we're unchangeable in ability and intelligence. In other words, we were divvied out when we were born a certain amount of intelligence, and that's it, okay? And divvied out a certain amount of ability, and that's it. And that needs to be proven because we think, okay, we're not really like other people completely, and so we have to prove it, and we're defensive, right? We're kind of defensive if people dent our intelligence. We're afraid to make mistakes and failures, and we need to defend those, and we apologize every time we make a mistake because it's a shame to make a mistake, all right? And we're attempting to validate ourselves and make ourselves feel okay the way we are, and, you know, it's, I'm not so smart, so I can't increase from that, and so a failure is a setback, not growth. A failure means I'm not growing, not reaching my potential. And putting in effort and hard effort means I have to do that because I'm not smart enough, or else I wouldn't have to put in any effort if I'm that smart. Are you following what I'm saying on this mindset? Okay. Now let's go to mindset two. And then you're going to tell me which one you think is biblical, okay? Mindset number two is growth, a changeable mindset. Intelligence can be improved and grow because it's learned. And anything that can be developed and grown through learning, and we actually have a choice to learn and to grow, and it's about stretching ourselves out to learn something new, develop ourselves, putting in the effort to make it happen, increasing our knowledge, and effort is what makes you smart. Not because you're not smart, but it's what makes you smart. And failure is only about learning. When you fail, you don't have to apologize, you don't have to do any of that, because that's just part of growth. It's about becoming smarter through work, through reading, through all those kinds of things. And so where are you this morning in the mindsets? Now, I know we probably have a little bit of both, right? Were you born with a, or I mean, were you raised with a locked-in mindset, or were you raised with a growth mindset? Okay. Now, I can vote for mine. It was 100% locked. Okay? 100% locked. Everybody apologized, everybody. It was just this fixed mindset, and you only had so much intelligence. And so then I see in myself other places where I've grown. Like, I jumped in, did ministry, I learned my theology and Bible, and I went on and on. And I think, well, how can you have those dualities? Well, we do, right? Are you with me this morning? You are such a... looking at the group, and I'm thinking, can you hear me? Are you hearing me this morning? Okay, listen to this. Yeah, let me just read you a quote, okay? Benjamin Barber, he was an eminent sociologist, said this: I don't divide the world into the weak and strong or the successes and failures. I divide the world into the learners and not learners. Isn't that interesting? I really think that's a biblical base. Let me give you an example. Okay, I've got 13 grandkids. I'm bragging, by the way. Okay, I have 13 grandkids, and most of them are 5 and under, okay? And so I look at these little kids, and I watch them run up and down the halls here, you know. They just love playing tag in this hall, going all the way to the door and back and that kind of thing. And so as you watch these kids, you see that they are developing not just ordinary skills. Now, think about this with me. But absolutely inordinate skills. Like, for instance, they learn to walk. You ever watch them learn to walk? Do they ever fail? Boom! Up. Boom! Up. Boom. Do they ever go, I am so sorry I fell? No, they have the growth mindset. And so they walk and then they start talking. And when they first do it, I always have to ask the moms, what did they say? Because they kind of get the slight, you know, what's going on. And then pretty soon they start talking. One of my granddaughters is just now starting to talk, and I can actually understand her. And so when I tell her, honey, I didn't understand what you said. She gets down on her knees and says, please, Papa, forgive me, right? Well, it doesn't even occur to her. She tries to say it again. And say it again, then I get Emma, okay? And Emma tells me what she's saying, okay? Listen, they never decide that things are too hard. Never decide that. Or not worth the effort. Can you imagine a kid going, I'd love to talk, but I can't, so I'm never doing it again. Sounds funny, doesn't it? But it's because kids start out with a growth mindset. And what ends this enthusiastic learning with them? As soon as they can evaluate themselves, and especially when others evaluate them negatively, right? Then something happens. They become afraid, and they begin to not take some of the challenges that they would like to change. And yet, you see the others, and they keep on going. And you could almost say anything you want, and they're going, they're falling down, and they're bouncing right back up and going, and it's only learning to them. I mean, think about the bicycle. How many kids have fallen on the bicycle and scraped their knees and elbows and stuff? Every one of them. Okay, see, he's got his hand up. They grow in intelligence and knowledge. What does it say about Christ when he was 12 years old? And he grew in wisdom and stature. You know, one day a seventh grader asked his teacher, answered a hard question. The teacher asked, are you intelligent? And she answered, I think intelligence is something that you work for. See, depending on our mindset, we choose the easy in the fixed, and we don't challenge ourselves, or we choose the challenging, and we grow. And you might say, well, Steve, wait a minute. That all makes kind of sense, except what about the IQ? What about where your IQ is at? This locked-in intelligence, are you saying that you can increase that? Yes, I am. The seventh grader was exactly right. Alfred Binet was a Frenchman in the late 1800s, and he was a French psychologist, and they were having curriculum problems in France. So he developed a test to measure where the kids were so they knew how to bring them along in the curriculum. And what did we do in the world? We took his IQ test and made it, this is who you are. Right? I mean, we kind of think that IQ is, that's it, don't we? Oh, I'm a 130, or I'm a 128, or I got a 126 IQ, I got a 115. And so people have some have 98. Some have 70. are you stuck there? I don't think from God's point of view. And so he did that to figure out where they were so they could figure out how to move them along. And he was very successful at that. But we turned it around to make, it was just a progress report is what it was. You know, let me give you one of my first aha moments in mindsets. And I was in a family, I don't know if you were learned in that. And of course, parents always say stupid things, don't they, to their kids? And so my dad would say, well, Steve, you're not smart enough, and you don't have the intelligence. And I heard that all. In fact, when I decided to go to college, he told me, I wouldn't go. I don't think you're going to make it in college. That's what he told me. And I thought, well, okay, maybe he's right. And I thought, I'm just going to try anyhow. And I excelled in college better than I did in any of the high school and that. And, one particular time when we got to Colorado, I joined a theology class. It was an intermediate theology class, and boy, it was almost over my head. And so I kept my mouth shut. I'm not going to show my ignorance, right? And so what mindset is that? The fixed mindset, right? And so a friend of mine in class, and I still see him to this day. We visit together. He lives in California. And every time the professor asked a question, up went his hand. And he'd answer the question, and it was stupidity, right? He didn't know any more than I did, but he'd answer that question, and the prophet would say, well, no, look in the Bible there, and that kind of thing. And he'd go, okay, you're right, but he never learned his lesson. He kept on raising his hand and trying to answer the question. And I kept on keeping my mouth shut. So we got to the end of the year, and I'm talking to him, and we're talking over some of the theology. He knows it three times as well as I do. Why? Because he fell and got up again, 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 and he learned it. And I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't learn much of anything. So believe me, the next year I was the guy raising my hand to learn. Now, did he find it embarrassing? No. To this day, I'll go over and, you know, visit with him, and we share philosophies back and forth, and we talk, and we bounce off ideas, and he just was born with a growth mindset. He was born into a family with a growth mindset. I was born into a family with a fixed mindset. Was my friend smarter? No, not particularly. Which mindset does God give you? The fixed or the growth? Growth. Grow. Isn't that what we read? Grow, 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 grow. We're going to keep growing, grow, grow. A growing mindset. We're going to learn. We're going to fall down and we're going to get up again because we need to be challenged and we need to grow and grow our intellect and grow our knowledge and those type of things. Grow our talents, grow our gifts so we know what we do in the body of Christ. Don't let people cheat you out of that. Do you hear me that this morning? Don't let people cheat you out. They're going to go, well, you're not very good at that. And you know what? You're going to become good at that. It takes work. I can remember at the beginning of this church that we had an evangelist that was here. And I said, you know, you're the evangelist. Why don't you give the salvation message instead of me? So he did it for about 2 to 3 months. And I had a secret meeting with the leaders. And I said, you know what? Maybe we should just shut this down because he's so bad at it. Now, some of you know who I'm talking about, right? Was he bad at it when you heard him? No, he was fantastic. And the day that I was to go tell him, we're not going to do this anymore, he did. He just did enough that it was like, okay, we can keep going. And he became a fantastic speaker. It took work, hard work on his part, and he did not give up. Growth mindset. Here's the lesson. There is no limit to your potential. But potential for potential's sake is worth nothing, right? It's growing up into that potential. And your attitude about growth and your willingness to go after it. Let me give you a perfect illustration of this since we're in the Bronco country, okay? Who is Peyton Manning? Yeah, the Bronco quarterback. Well, you know, there's some people that don't watch football, right? Okay, so now who is his brother? Eli Manning. Now, they're both quarterbacks. They're both pros, okay? And the family said about Peyton Manning that even when he was young and they played football, he would cry and be bummed because his brother Eli had all the talent. He was good, and so Peyton always lost whatever team he was on because he was not very good. He didn't have the natural skills. His family says he didn't have the natural skills. He says, I do not have natural skills, okay? So I think we're safe in saying he didn't have natural skills. Now, Eli, on the other hand, was one of those guys, you know what I'm saying? Just knew how to do it, knew how to run and move and that kind of thing. And so Peyton begins to work hard. And he works hard, and he studies, and he works hard. And you've heard testimonies, if you've listened about him, that he's all week long studying the other team. He studies, and he tries to figure out how to stand, how to walk, how to throw, that kind of thing. And Eli works on his natural ability. Who's the better quarterback? Peyton, by far. I mean, they even played together, and their team totally lost. Because even though Eli has the natural ability, he didn't do the work. Now, I'm not trying to knock Eli, you know what I'm saying? But he didn't do the hard work his brother did. And his brother this year is going, Peyton's probably going to set every record in the book this year because he's already broken quite a few in one more year. He's going to set all the records. A guy that didn't have the natural talent. Am I talking to you this morning? It doesn't take natural talent, people. It's nice to have it. I don't have it. Do you have it? No, we have to learn everything the hard way, and that's okay. We fall down and get up again. We fall down and we get up again. Listen, no limit to your potential. We can do some amazing work in the kingdom of God if we'll come together as a unit and pick each other up instead of picking each other apart. Do you hear me that? Do you hear that? Let's stop picking people apart and pick them up, brush them off, and get them going again. We are Harvest Fellowship. We are the local body here on this piece of property, and God has given us a holy ministry. Right? And God's telling us to get up and engage. Engage. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given you, let us use them. Would it make any difference today if I asked you to do a holy thing? See, we're truly on a mission from God. We're on a mission from God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the few moments this morning. I pray that you'll be with all of us as we look at the difference between a fixed mindset and a growth mindset. Lord, help us to identify where we've blocked ourselves out, where we've listened to people who put us down, or where we've failed and we think that failure's wrong instead of it's learning. God, help us to be willing to fail, willing to fall down, willing to do those things that we see our own little toddlers do, that we might grow up into you who is the head, Christ. Our heads are bowed. You may be here this morning and you come and you don't have a relationship with Christ. Maybe you don't know. Let me just talk to you for a second. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and the wages of that sin is death. But it doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 10:9, it tells us how we can have that relationship with Christ, how we can be saved from the wrath to come. And it says this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Simple as that. And I'm going to pray a little prayer. And if I'm talking to you today, my friend, just pray along with me. And the prayer goes like this, dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and life, and be the Lord of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead, just as that verse said, and obviously then you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today, and may I live for you. Our heads are still bowed. If you prayed that prayer this morning, you meant it. Will you raise your hand up, put it back down? Let God know you meant business this morning. Just raise it up, put it back down. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Father, we just thank you so much that we, by simple belief in you as Lord and believe that you rose from the dead, that our life is transformed and we become a new creation in you. And Lord, I just pray for the people that raise their hand. They'll seek us out and talk with us, and we can help them. Lord, help them to have the growth mindset that they can grow in you. And Lord, we'll be forever grateful. Lord, we want to do your mission, a mission from God. And help us at Harvest Fellowship to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.